Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
And Doug. Quickly move. We don't have much time. This Liberty ad is already almost over. We only have a few precious seconds to remind people to customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual.
Okay.
Well, I guess we had more time than I thought.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Hey, Joy. Oh, you are glowing.
Oh, hey. More like Mira Joyed. That Miralax helped me go. I was so backed up. Tried mega coffees, prune juice, everything. Then Miralax. And hello, gentle relief without the harsh side effects.
Ooh, how does it work?
It works naturally with the water in your body for constipation relief. Find Miralax today at Walmart.
Use as directed for occasional constipation.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Lawmakers in the House set to vote on a Republican resolution described by House Speaker Mike Johnson as a budget blueprint for President Trump's agenda.
This is a big one. We're very, very close, and we're excited about the progress, and I'm very positive, and I'm absolutely convinced we're going to get this done.
He can only lose three Republican votes without Democratic support, and there is concern in home districts that Medicaid could be on the chopping block. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries today at a rally.
Today we stand together as House Democrats with the American people to push back against this reckless Republican budget.
Consumer confidence plunging in February by 7 points. That's the biggest in over 4 years, with Americans worried about President Trump's tariffs and a looming trade war. The Vatican says Pope Francis remains in critical condition but stable as he battles pneumonia. He's been in the hospital in Rome for 12 days. This is ABC News. In Southern California, a social media influencer has been arrested in connection with a deadly crash last 4th of July that killed a rideshare driver.
On the 4th of July last year, Summer Wheaton left an exclusive event known as a white party at Nobu Restaurant. After leaving, investigators say she was driving on the Pacific Coast Highway and was under the influence and crashed into rideshare driver Martin Okiki and killed him. Wheaton has over 100,000 followers on Instagram. Wheaton has now surrendered to the L.A. County Sheriff's Station in Malibu, charged with vehicular manslaughter while intoxicated. Okiki's family has sued Wheaton for wrongful death. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The measles outbreak in West Texas getting worse. The state health department says they've recorded 34 more cases since last Friday. There are now 124 cases linked to that outbreak. Health officials say most are children or teens who are unvaccinated or vaccination status is unknown. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Lowe's knows that free is just better. That's why MyLowe's Rewards is free to join. As a member, you earn points towards MyLowe's money on eligible purchases, get exclusive free gifts, and earn free shipping at Silver Key status, all on top of weekly member-only deals. Don't wait. Join MyLowe's Rewards for free today and start saving more. Lowe's. We help. You save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Spring forward with real unlimited data from Straight Talk this tax season and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. So you can stream games during Mad March hours, check the weather for April showers, and watch gardening videos about May flowers. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 4/15/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires purchase of single line Golden Limited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ehlen. Governor Tony Evers held a listening session in Wausau regarding his proposed two-year budget. The Democratic governor says proposals like no tax on utility bills or over-the-counter medications might make the biggest impact for families.
Those type of things are going to be seeable and also, and there's many just like that, that will impact people.
Though Evers says a tax cut will also help.
We want to do that too, there's no question. But at the end of the day, the ones that people may remember are the smaller ones.
The size of a potential tax cut remains to be determined, as Republicans who control the budget-writing Joint Finance Committee are putting together their own two-year spending plan. A Democratic state lawmaker proposes legislation giving Wisconsin farmers the right to repair their equipment.
What right to repair legislation does is allows the owner of that farm equipment to be able to repair that farm equipment. And at the same time, it protects the intellectual property of the manufacturer of that equipment.
State Senator Brad Pfaff says farmers are currently prohibited from making repairs or having local shops do the work on tractors and combines they purchase. He's seeking bipartisan sponsors for the bill. Education consultant Brittany Kinzer will oppose incumbent Jill Underley to lead Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction in April's general election. On a call with reporters, Kinzer said the state superintendent is about the future of Wisconsin children.
We know that when we expect more from our kids, the more they will achieve. It's time we restore the high standards. It's time we focus on reading, writing, and math. That is why I support Act 20 and the legislature and Governor Evers' efforts to pass the funding.
In a statement, Underley said Kinzer's policies would put Wisconsin public schools on a path to lower rankings. Underley didn't respond to a WRN request for an interview. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and still unseasonably warm today with high temperatures reaching the upper 40s. Got rain rolling in overnight tonight and lingering through early tomorrow morning and leaving us with a mostly cloudy day but still mild with highs in the mid-40s. And how about another 50-degree day possible on Friday? Need a new bathroom? Don't miss out on free premium upgrades from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Wheat futures led the way to the downside, and corn futures followed with modest losses. The soy complex was mixed, with meal higher, bean oil lower, and soybeans mixed. Lean hogs are struggling to hold on to support, and buyers have rolled right back into the cattle complex.
Live with Twin 25s via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with the commodities cowboy, Carl Setzer from Consus. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Laurie.
All right, I get it. 225-25.
Now you got it. Now you got it.
I got it. I'm with you. It took a little while this morning, I'm with it now.
That's okay. It settles. See, we're in the second month, and so if things take a second pass to kind of settle in,
it's okay.
That's okay.
You should have sung that.
Should have sung it?
On the day 25-25.
Hey, okay, mark it down.
Too late.
The day is 2-25-25, and I think that's the first day that we got Big Apple Joe to sing on the air.
It is not the first time.
Oh, it's not the first time?
No, I did that Christmas intro. I made up new lyrics. I don't remember. I do remember, though, that Jim Wiesmeyer suggested that I never sing on the air again.
What is Wiesmeyer now? Don't listen to him.
He's a fun hater.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Whether or not this is the first time, I just hope it isn't the last.
That's
you know what
right.
I mean? Let's just
That's
put it right.
there. I'm going with that. You be you, Big Apple. Mm-hmm. You be mm-hmm. you.
Okay. I don't think that's a good idea.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Big Apple Joe. And, of course, Davis is here as well. Mm-hmm. 51 degrees. I stepped outside. The sun was shining bright. Yeah. There's a little power to it. Some strength to that sun out there.
Are you still kind of bracing yourself against the cold a little bit when that door opens?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not quite there yet.
Absolutely. You know what I'm going to do to get over that?
What's that?
I'm going to go for a drive this afternoon, put the windows down in the truck.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Crank it up.
All right.
Listen to some tunes.
Uh-huh.
That'd be fantastic. You know, and what I mean by listening to tunes is by turning on talk radio really loud, because that's kind of what I listen to.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no Nickelback sneak its way in there? A little
maybe,
BTO?
Maybe get a little bit in there.
Okay.
Get a little bit. All right, buddy. Let's get to the markets. What do you got?
Well, Chip, wheat futures were under pressure again today. Long liquidation seems to be the driving force in the market. Traders point to the potential for tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada as a potential negative for the corn and the wheat markets. Mexico is an important buyer of both crops, and a trade tiff with Mexico could threaten that demand. Traders also point to warmer temperatures in winter wheat areas and the reduced risk of additional winter kill. March soft red winter wheat futures spiked support at 571.5 and tried to recover ahead of the close. March HRW wheat futures 4.75 cents lower at 591.75. March SRW down 6.5 cents to 615. March spring wheat futures closed at 613. That's down 8.5 cents, Chip.
Yeah, you know, if winter kill worries were behind the 80-cent rally that we had in winter wheat futures, they're taking some of that concern out right now, no doubt about it.
Well, Mexican President Sheinbaum reaffirmed her commitment to a deal with the U.S. to prevent the initiation of tariffs on imports from her country, but traders are beginning to factor in the potential for a trade tiff with Mexico and Canada beginning as early as next week. Corn traders are also taking yield risk on the Brazilian Safrina corn crop out of the market as growers there make good progress on the bean harvest and corn plantings. March corn futures opened slightly higher today and near the high of the day, fell to close mid-range and below support at 480 for the first time since January 16. March corn futures were 2.75 cents lower at 479.75. May corn down 2.75 to 494.25. July corn futures closed at 499.25, down 2.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, we had an interesting conversation with Drew Lerner from World Weather Inc. this morning on AgriTalk. We talked about the planting pace on the Safrina corn crop and some of the weather forecasts for central Brazil and Argentina. It's worth listening to if you haven't heard it.
Well, Chip, March soybean futures opened steady and fell to spike support at 1024. Before recovering to close above the opening range. Pro farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor cut his Brazilian bean crop estimate to 170 million metric tons. That's down 1 million from last week. He held his Argentine bean crop estimate at 48 million metric tons. Spreaders returned to the soy complex with buyers in the meal and sellers in bean oil. March bean oil posted the lowest close since February 5 and is looking to test support. At 45.03, March beans, 2.25 cents higher, 10.31.25. May beans up 1.25 to 10.48.75. July beans closed at 10.63.5, up 0.25 cents, Chip.
March meal today up $2, 2.93.80. March bean oil down 26 points to 45.44.
Well, March cotton was 55 points lower today at 65.96. On your livestocks, April fat cattle futures posted a second consecutive higher close above 195, and that's generating ideas the market has stopped the decline from the January 28 all-time high. Boxed beef prices higher again today. April fat cattle 62.5 cents higher, 195.72.5. March feeder futures up $1.92.5 to 274.22.5. And downside momentum building in lean hog futures. April lean hogs 82.5 cents lower today. 86.57.5, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brian Split, eggmarket.net. How you doing, Brian?
Doing great, Chip. Had a hard time coming to the office this morning. I was just stuck working from my front porch for a little bit. It was just sunny and hey, you know, just felt good to get that vitamin D, you know?
No doubt about it. Hey, that's okay. You know what you can do is you can just send the other co-founders of eggmarket.net a quick email with five things that you've accomplished in the past week, and I think they'd be fine with you staying on the porch.
I don't know if I could accomplish five things this
if
week.
He's got the five. If yeah, he's got the five things.
Let's move on.
Okay. All right. What do you make of this bean trade?
You know, beans are just really stuck. It seems like they found some price equilibrium. We look at all the volatility that we're having in corn and wheat, and we priced too much in, and we got to take it away. And the soybean market is really stuck here where the funds continue to defend the 100-day moving average. That was where they were selling back in fall on two major peaks. We finally got back above the 100-day moving average after that January report. And now we're finding resistance at the 200-day. So these moving averages are getting squeezed. The soybean market is coiling. I think you're going to have a pretty big move coming ahead of it here. And I really think you've got to really just pay attention to where the funds take this. Either above the 200, they're going to add to their length. Below the 100-day moving average, they're likely going to get out of their longs and possibly look at being short again. So I'm really waiting for cues there. On corn, you know, I think you just really look back to where we were about a year ago. And between about early March into the highs in May, we had very good support in March corn around those low 470s. And when we finally broke through there, that opened up the trapdoor below the market. So we look back to the early part of the month. We had that low at 472 and a half. Today's low at 74 and a quarter. We should find support here. Hopefully go take a look at $4.90 to $5 again and revisit the upper end of the range.
Excellent. Excellent, Brian. Hey, buddy, thank you so much. Be good. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Likewise, be good.
All right. Brian Split, agmarket.net. I don't know, but to me that would qualify as one of the bullet points. One of the things.
That's one.
Right there.
That's one. Sure.
We got Carl Setzer, Conscious Ag, up next.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Something special is happening in America's cornfields. It's called Invita. Invita allows all crops to fix their own nitrogen and reduce fertilizer. It's helped farmers grow millions of acres of corn with less nitrogen. And less nitrogen is good for the corn, good for our farmers, and good for our planet. Invita's sustainable technology helps farmers maximize profitability with guaranteed results, which makes Invita an investment that's good for us all. Learn more at azotic.com/investor. That's azotic.com/investor.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you plan the future of your farm, you've probably noticed something. It takes more than money. It takes a lending partner that keeps you fully prepared to leap when land becomes available. That's why FBN Finance created a simple, easy pre-qualification process valid for up to 180 days. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. All right. It is Tuesday afternoon, a nice warm Tuesday afternoon up here in Northeast Iowa. And we've got a guest analyst, Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting, on the line with us right now. Carl, my friend, how are you?
Doing well, Chip, doing well. How about you, sir?
Doing real good, real good. 51 degrees up here. It is January 25th. 51 degrees.
Yeah, it's like it wasn't just 20 below here 2 weeks ago, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What did I say, Davis?
You said January, but it's February. I don't want to be that guy.
Well, you know, I think it's either February 25th or January 87th, right?
Something like that. It's Febujan is what we
Febujan?
Got going. Febujan?
Febujan. It's a long winter. It's a long winter. Stay with me here. All right. Hey, Carl, just let's start with general impressions. What are you hearing from the markets? What signals are you taking from the price action that we've been seeing?
You know, Chip, I do believe that this week and you know, the tail end of last week, this week, we're starting to get a little bit of, you know, more acreage estimates for new crop. We got the South American. You know, we've been rehashing a lot of the same information over and over and over again. You know, you look at the seasonal tendencies for us, you know, to decline into the first week of March, not uncommon. I mean, we got first notice day on the contracts. It's just kind of a lull of fresh news for the market. You know, I'm just not reading too much into these losses, though. I mean, you know, funds have been liquidating a little bit, but we haven't seen a total collapse. You know, I'm seeing, like I said, just a lot of seasonal tradings. And really, you know, we continue to hold to our ranges. We just happen to be, you know, kind of in the lower end of the recent ranges right now. Well,
seasonal trade, that's got to include some Brazilian hedging in this market, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's starting to put it up a little bit, but you know, we're not seeing as much as usual. You know, the soybeans just not coming into the ports as fast as we are. And, you know, we just got February's, you know, exports look like we're going to hit about 3.7 million metric tons out of Brazil, you know, about half of what we had in February of 24. So, we're not seeing as much hedge pressure as you would think with harvest being, you know, give or take 40%. Usually you're seeing a little bit more pressure, telling me that domestic market is stopping a lot of these soybeans from making it that far.
Okay. All right. What are you seeing anything from the export market here in the States that would suggest that there's another week or two left in some bean sales?
You know, what I'm seeing take place isn't, I don't think we're going to see anything up front because Sino started releasing their reserves in China. And really, I mean, we know there's a big crop coming out of Brazil. Does it start in February or does it start in March, right? We know it's going to be there. That crop's going to be somewhere around 170 million metric tons, give or take. We're not at the end, but we know there's this huge crop coming. China's banking on, you know, the slow start, but these soybeans are going to show up. Sino's going to release them on storage to bridge the gap. But then, you know, it's still friendly for the U.S. because you can't store South American soybeans. They just don't store because of their, you know, their thin skin. So even with China, they're not going to buy the soybeans right now, but they're creating a void that we will fill at a later time. So it's, you know, we're just kicking the can down the road a bit, but the business will be there.
Okay. Okay, that's a bit more optimistic than what I've picked up from others. I mean, you know, it's too cool to just make a comment that, oh, we've lost our export market to Brazil. But you see some hope for it.
I do. And I mean, you know, President Trump is, you know, him and President Xi are talking. You know, I do expect some kind of a trade deal to come out, maybe an improvement. And I'm not saying we're going to see China just walk away from Brazil. We know that's not going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, I do think that the opportunity is there for a little bit more old crop demand coming out of the U.S. on soybeans. But, Chip, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, the Chinese aren't that you know, they'll look at this market, look at where a meal is valued versus where it has been valued. They can buy a meal and pump that straight into their supply line and bypass a lot of their import regulations, and then they don't even have to process it. Saves them time. I wouldn't be surprised China maybe shopping around a little bit for some meal, but I doubt they buy whole soybeans right now.
Okay. All right. You know, I haven't really seen them this week, but last week there was three or four stories out on the wire services about India and their palm oil escapades. I mean, it's hard telling exactly what they are going to do on that front. Could it turn into some demand for U.S. bean oil?
Okay, Chip, it depends what rabbit hole you want to go down with Indonesia. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
One minute they're going to wash out of their palm oil and refill it with soy oil. Well, if they do that, that's going to come out of the U.S. I mean, the economics just tell you. But they'll tell you that and then turn around and tell you that they got a 5.5 month supply of palm oil on hand that they don't need any purchases. So I think Indonesia is maybe taking, you know, their maybe a few methods out of the playbook on China and trying to manipulate the imports, and it's just not working for them. Okay. I would not be surprised, just given the price structure, you would think soy oil demand would eventually start to pick up on that Indonesian market. I mean, it's just there, and it's plentiful.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt. Okay, I want to go back to a couple of things that you mentioned. First notice day coming up. What should we expect there?
You know, looking at the numbers, I don't expect to see very heavy corn deliveries. It does look like, you know, as of this morning, we had a lot more soybeans listed, receipts to come in, soy meal especially. You know, you got to look at the oil deliveries.
Yeah.
Trade expecting a few, but man, I tell you, with the economics there, and then, you know, the stocks to use on soy oil, and I can argue with you that the USDA is way below where they should be on our projected demand. But, you know, that's a problem for down the road, not now. And, you know, I'm not expecting huge deliveries, like I said, grains, but probably a little bit heavier on that soy complex.
Okay. All right. Why do you say that USDA might be low on their projected soybean oil use?
Well, you know, we're sitting here, 2 months, 3 months into the marketing year, and we're already at 92% of our projected sales for the entire marketing year.
Okay.
You know, and that's after we already kicked that number higher a little bit.
Yep.
You know, we had some cancellations to soy oil last week. We're gonna see a little bit back and forth, but you know, we don't have to sell hardly any soy oil for now. You know, in the next 8 months, I mean, it's pretty likely we're gonna surpass the USDA projection.
Okay. What about on the domestic side of things for soybeans and bean oil? Anything that we need to take note of?
I think one of the big ones right now, Chip, is, and it goes back to the, you know, what are we going to see for biofuel demand? And the lack of the clarity there that's coming out of Washington is starting to be, that's why even with the tight soy oil demand, We just don't have a clear path on that domestic side. I think that's limiting soy oil right now. And I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to come out and we're going to see, you know, soy oil spike like crazy. But the demand side right there on the U.S., we just got to get some clarification on that biofuel. But even without that, I mean, we're seeing big demand for our soy oil, you know, and biodiesel, you know, blending. So it would be nice to see the clarity, you know, so we have something underneath us. But you look at the, you know, the consumption, you got to ask yourself, do you really need it? It's kind of like ethanol. You know, we have an ethanol mandate, but we're we're producing and consuming above our mandate.
Yeah.
So it's a line in the sand, but it's definitely not a black and white one.
Yeah. 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 Giving the investors that are putting money into biofuels refineries, giving them some certainty on where this is going or headed going forward, that would definitely help out. No question about it. All right. We are in the middle of a conversation with Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. When we come back, Carl, we got to talk about acres for 2025. Next!
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where March HRW wheat futures were 4.75 cents lower at 5.91¾. March soft red winter wheat down 6.5 cents to 6.15. March corn futures were 2.75 cents lower, 4.79¾. July corn futures closed at 4.99¼, down 2.75 cents today. March soybean futures 2.25 cents higher, but 10.31¼. July beans closed at 10.63½. That's up a whole quarter of a penny. March cotton, 55 points lower, 65.96. On your livestocks, April fat cattle, 62.5 higher today, 195.72½. March feeders up $1.92½ to 274.22½. And April lean hog futures, 82.5 cents lower at 86.57½. Get more. Try ProFarmer.com.
Day one. Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Not everyone can fix their own car or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and still unseasonably warm today with high temperatures reaching the upper 40s. Got rain rolling in overnight tonight and lingering through early tomorrow morning and leaving us with a mostly cloudy day but still mild with highs in the mid-40s. And how about another 50-degree day possible on Friday? Need a new bathroom? Don't miss out on free premium upgrades from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Hey, you know, Chip.
Hey, you know,
I'm thinking about it. I think our guest, the commodities cowboy himself, Carl Setzer, I think his lovely bride grew up on a potato farm. Now that we're talking about it. Now that we're onto potatoes. Carl, am I remembering that right?
You are remembering that correct, yes. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You still grow spuds today? Like maybe just out in the garden just for fun?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
They sell them at the store for like they sell them at the store for like 79 cents. Why would you raise them?
Yes. Yes.
Somebody said it. Finally.
That is so finally. Absolutely on spot.
Wow.
You know, oh my gosh. Every time I go by a sweet corn stand and I see the 13 ears for $6.
Yeah. Yeah.
My thought is, why are they even charging? You know?
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Oh man, we could go down the path of food policy and cheap food and all that, but that's for a different time. Okay?
Focus.
Wow.
Let's focus. Yeah.
Whoo. Holy mackerel. All we were doing was talking about how to store potatoes,
yeah.
Davis. And
potatoes.
You got us
I know.
You
I
got
know.
Us onto food prices and everything else.
Mm-hmm. We dig
okay. Okay, acres. I want to get there so that we don't run out of time. Everybody's thinking that the corn acres are up. Everybody's thinking the bean acres are down. Are you in that group?
I am, Chip. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially after about the last week here, I expected to see a few more corn acres, and then I started seeing, you know, you had the groups coming out, Cobank. The other ones, you know, 3 to 4 million more corn acres, some of these. And I thought, boy, that seems like a stretch. So I started talking to some of, you know, my old cohorts out in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And almost every one of them, I talked to a handful of guys out there, Chip, from all around the state. Anywhere from 7 to 10% more corn seed sales coming out of their agronomy department. 7 to 10% more corn seed sales.
Okay.
That got me thinking. And then you look, the nitrogen demand is with it. So, I mean, okay. It's backing up that number. Chip, and I'm just, you throw out, and I use 10% because it's simple math, obviously.
Uh-huh.
You know, Iowa planted 13 million corn acres last year.
Yeah. You're talking about 1.3 million right there.
Times 211 bushels per acre. So,
oh
yeah, and you know, now I'm not trying to make everything doom and gloom, but boy, after I heard that, my opinion changed a little bit. And I'm like, I do think we could stand to see a 3 million acre bump. If you're seeing 1.3 million, and that's at the high side, right?
Yes.
But let's say we see a million. Let's just say a million. If you see a million more acres come out of Iowa, I doubt that stops at the border with Illinois.
Or Missouri.
But now, Chip, out here in Michigan, we're going to probably see fewer corn acres this year.
Okay.
You know, but where we're at here in southern Michigan, we're also in a big wheat market, and wheat's pushing corn. So I think, you know, I'm not saying for a nation, you know, everybody's going to be up, but boy, that was an eye opener to me when I started making, you know, a few more phone calls, because you're talking some real acres and some real bushels. So to see 3 million for the U.S., I fully can believe that.
So what do you think about 470 Dease 25 corn futures then?
I think that you should be looking, you know, anywhere from that 470 to $5. I think we need to be looking at those to make some sales there. Here's the other side of my outlook on corn, though, Chip. We also have to remember this year our production is going to be about 230 million bushels short of demand. So
yes.
if we add in 3 million acres, you got to look at it. Okay, that might be just enough if right. demand holds steady going forward right. to keep us from slipping any further. So that's why I think I don't think you see the new crop contracts. You know, we got to get that crop in the ground yet. And yes, even if nobody wants to admit it, you got to have some risk premium in a market where your stocks to use is right at a rationing level.
Right. Right. Okay. So where does that put your corn plantings at then? I mean, are you thinking 93 and a half, 94, or even are you even above that?
No, I think we come in around that, you know, 93 and a half to 94. Okay. I'm pretty comfortable around there. You know, I'm pretty comfortable with these numbers actually, and I have nothing to dispute them with, really, you know, but yep. But to see a 2.5 to 3 million, you know, you look at 93.5 million corn acres, you know, that's up just shy of 3 million from last year. Yeah. That's doable. I mean, and right. really, that kind of gets us back to what you would say, you know, maybe a more normal rotation, really.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then I would assume that you're taking some acres off of your beans, or we already talked about that. You are taking acres off beans. 87.1 million planted last year. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. You come in around, you know, 84.5 on the soybeans, you know, right in there. Yeah, 84.5. I don't think we get too much above that right now. Okay. But, you know, and then a lot of it's going to come on our wheat. You know, the wheat typically doesn't flip back and forth a lot, but we're expecting, you know, most guys about 600,000 more wheat acres this year. I think a sleeper in this, Chip, might be in the deep south where guys are talking to cutting back on cotton acres.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, if you see a 15% drop in cotton acres, it's a big volume for the cotton plantings, but it's not a huge addition to the corn right. or any other crop you right. put it into.
Right. Yeah, and cotton is doing nothing to hold on to acres for 2025 at this point. National Cotton Council has it at like 9.6 million planted, something like that. And let's see, I've got the number here in front of me someplace. Last year we planted 11.18. So, boy, oh, boy, you take 1.5 million off of that, and whew, you got to put it someplace, and I guess it probably would come over to corn. And it used to be, Carl, that we could say, well, but those acres are going to pull down your national average yield. We don't know that for a fact.
No, you can't say that anymore when we see some of these yields come out. And you know, that's where I feel, Chip, that, like I said, to, you know, see corn acres up that 93.5, 94 million, it's totally possible.
Okay. All right. So 10:50 November 2025 bean futures. What do you make of that?
I think that we're pretty much range bound there. And I said, we've been, you know, this 10.25 to, you know, 10.75. We see this, you know, this back and forth in that November soybean contract. The thing is we're not really seeing, you know, soybeans push for much. And when I look at this November contract, you know, like I said, we've traded from even, let's say, 1040 to 1080. We've traded there on November soybeans from the middle of January. But, Chip, I was looking at this today from mid-October to, you know, basically mid-January here. We only had 6 days that we trade outside of a range from 980 to 1040. Yeah. We traded in a 60-cent range for the last 4 or 5 months. So, I mean, to see soybeans just trade sideways, I think we just see it continue. It's just the new range looks like, you know, like I said, that 1040 to 1080 is about where we're trading.
Yeah, I've been watching for a rotation of the fund positions, roll out of longs in corn, roll out of the shorts in beans, roll into some longs in beans. I don't know if that can happen or not under the conditions that we're looking at here. Carl, what do you think?
You know, Chip, I'm gonna use feeder cattle for an example on the funds. Okay. It used to be when you would see a huge fund position that all of a sudden it's like, well, we're gonna see that trade out, we're gonna see that move, and when they start liquidating that, we're gonna see market pressure, right? Yeah. Look at your feeder cattle for a second, and look at what feeder cattle did last week. I mean, we had some big losses in feeder cattle. Mm-hmm. We had some big losses the week before in feeder cattle. And then you get the commitment of trader report out, and the funds are record long.
Yeah.
They've added to their position, and you scratch your head and say, okay, how did this happen? So, I mean, the fund rebalancing just doesn't – they've gotten pretty good at it, Chip.
Okay. All right. Yeah, good point. Good point, dude. Oh, man, Carl. Hey, thank you so much for answering the phone, buddy. We sure appreciate you, man.
Hey, anytime, Chip. Anytime.
Excellent. Excellent. That is Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. All right, Davis is going to take us home next. I'll be here, too.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out collection letters, garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it even harder to get out of debt. Don't let tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in taxpayer assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Let them fight on your behalf, helping to put your tax problems to rest. Call the tax professionals at Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-883-3024. 800-883-3024. 800-883-3024. That's 800-883-3024.
Us today is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial. Dan, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN?
Well, at FBN Finance, we're really dedicated to serving family farmers and putting farmers first. We've created an experience provide farmers with all the essential information that they need during their land financing journey. And so on the front end, they can use our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision. They can look at land insights and metrics, soil types, using that product. Then they can use our land calculator to view their estimated rates and fees. And then when they're ready to get pre-qualified, they can use our digital application and then take advantage of our instant approvals for qualifying applications.
Okay, pre-qualification and instant approvals. Explain that some more and tell me how that benefits farmers.
Well, if you're just starting out your process and you're not sure what you can afford or not sure how a lender is going to look at it, pre-qualification gives you that confidence to go out to an auction or, you know, consider a refinance if it's worth the effort to put in the time and effort to get that. And then a pre-approval or an actual approval is great when you want to move quickly. So let's say you win that auction and you've got a limited time period to close. You don't want to spend the first couple weeks thinking around, who's going to give me a loan? We'll let you know right away. It takes less than 15 minutes to fill out the application, and we can get you approved for up to $2.5 million.
Really cool. Dan, how can someone get in contact with your team?
You can get started right now by going to fbn.com/agritalk, or you can call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D. And right now, for AgriTalk listeners, when you fill out a form to speak with a loan advisor or call us directly and mention AgriTalk, you're eligible to save $500 on closing costs for your land loan over $250,000.
Thank you, Dan. Very cool. That is Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The National Pork Board cares about your farm's future. New grant opportunities are available to help you enact innovative risk management solutions on your farm to help manage risk in times of uncertainty. Solutions that can secure a profitable and sustainable future for your farm. With technical and financial assistance to implement practices such as cover crops, conservation tillage, edge of field and perennial grass buffers, and more. Simply request your Pork Cares Farm Impact Report to explore funding support for these practices. Get started today at porkcares.org.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. I'm having a hard time focusing. Chip, here's my question.
Okay.
You can have one or the other, tots or fries. Go.
Tots.
Tots or fries. Tots?
Tots.
Tots without hesitation.
Every time.
Uh-huh. Big Apple Joe, tots or fries?
I like steak fries.
Steak fries, the thick ones, kind of with the little... little peel on the back side of it. Is that what you like? The little,
I don't mind.
Those are wedges.
I like the big, thick. I think they're steak fries is what I've been sold.
Big French fries.
Well, now you're saying wedges, though.
Well, wedges are the ones with the skin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steak fries don't have the skin.
Maybe on the ends, but really not usually.
Right.
Maybe they're not supposed to. Okay. Good enough. Good to know. I'm just trying to pull it together here. You know, just tater knowledge. I realize my tater knowledge.
You ever heard of a French fry casserole?
French fry casserole. I've heard of Frito pie.
Okay. Have you ever heard of a tater tot casserole?
That I have heard of. Yeah, I have
okay,
more than heard
go.
Of
the
that.
There you go. The versatility of the tot moves it straight to the top.
Wow. I see what you did there. Sly. Brian Split says the soybean market is coiling, but I wasn't paying attention. Is it coiling to move up or to move down? I don't know. Yeah. Because there's three directions. There's sideways, there's up, and there's down, and it doesn't coil to go sideways, pretty sure.
The answer is yes.
No!
But he laid out some resistance levels, some support levels. You break the resistance, it's primed for a move to the upside. You break the support, it's primed for a move to the downside. That's how these things work from a chart perspective. Now, when you throw the fundamentals in on top of it and everything else, and the thing is, okay, I'm still looking at the March contract. I'm just having a hard time moving out to the May.
That's all right. It's a good contract.
Yeah, but the March contract, it spiked that, what is it, 1024, I believe it was, that low. Okay, finally I got it in front of me. That low that we posted back on February 13th, 1024, at 1024. We spiked that today, and that was the lowest that we had traded in that March contract since January 17. And now we've got some critical support at 1039. Excuse me. Let me say that again. 1019. Some critical support at 1019. Mm-hmm. That is that January 17 low. So heads up. Yeah. Heads up. Yeah. We're knocking on the door, and we'll see if we can maintain some trade there.
Carl Setzer from Consus gave me the feeling. He said, we're kicking the can down the road on soybean exports, but he's confident that eventually that demand will be there. Do you share
that? Wasn't that refreshing?
Yeah, I like that. felt
it was instead of just doom and gloom on the export front, we had, Carl was a little optimistic, and he had some good reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I share that optimism?
Yeah. I know you want to. I know you want to.
Right, right. I would like to. Let me look at a couple of things here real quick. Okay. In 2022-23, soybean exports were 1.98 billion bushels. In 2023-24, 1.695. So down a lot, 300 million almost. 1.825 is the current estimate. Okay. It's a whole lot better than last year's 1695, but not as good as what we saw 2 years ago at 1980.
Mm-hmm.
It feels kind of like a Goldilocks number to me right now.
Well,
at 1.825, I think it's about right.
Can I add a wrinkle to our Sunday shirt here? The topic of discussion, listeners, we're kicking the can down the road on soybean demand, but the demand will be there. If we add in an assumption, Carl expects a trade deal of some kind with China, which was another interesting bright spot there. If you've got a trade deal with China, now maybe we can talk about some soybean demand.
Darn right. Darn right. Then I can tell you right now that 1.825 billion bushels for 2024-25. And by the way, we'll get USDA's first ideas on the 2024-25 export situation yet this week at the Ag Outlook Forum. So we need to watch that. But if we get a deal with China, because there's still a lot of marketing year left. You know, I mean, could we get that done before the end of August? I think it would take some work, but even if a negotiation was moving in the right direction, you know, I say it would take some work. I don't know if you could get it done that quickly. The last time when they started talking to the speech where President Trump got in front of the podium and says, boy, you guys are going to have to buy more land and get bigger tractors. Remember that?
I do.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it didn't take that long from start to finish on that conversation, on that negotiation. So if they start the conversation now, it could still have an impact on the old crop. I'm sure of that.
Wouldn't that be something? Well,
yes, it would be.
And then you layer on top of that the lack of clarity here at home on the biofuels with the soy oil. You know, it's an uncertain future there. It does feel good to feel good about potential trade with China. Doesn't that feel good, Chip?
Yes, it does.
Don't you feel good?
I like how you said that. All right. National Weather Service 6-10 day outlook. March 3rd through the 7th, we've got above normal temperatures expected over most of the Corn Belt until you get out to the Western Belt. We're talking about most of Nebraska and Kansas looking at near normal temperatures for that March 3rd through the 7th. Above normal precipitation expected over most of the Belt. The exception is the northern production areas, North Dakota, the northern half of South Dakota, and most of Minnesota. In that outlook, 8 to 14 day. This is for March 5th through the 11th, near normal to above normal temperatures and near normal to below normal precipitation expected across the Corn Belt. Thank you so much for listening today. Come on back. We got a farmer forum tomorrow. Ben from Iowa, Ryan from South Dakota.
At National Ag Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
"This is a type of blood cancer."
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Amid sweeping layoffs across federal agencies, Majority Leader John Thune says Senate confirmed agency heads should have broader authority over personnel decisions affecting their agencies instead of